I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Luke 18.
Be looking at verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before we go into my sermon, I need you to take out your cell phones if you have one. And look on how many texts you've sent. And then just hang on to that number. Some of you I know have cell phones, so just have that ready. For you high school kids, how many times does a minister ask you to get your cell phone out? So take advantage of it. A young man went to a drugstore to buy 3 boxes of chocolate, a small box, a medium box, and a large box. When the pharmacist asked him about the 3 boxes, he says, "Well, I'm going over to a new girlfriend's house for supper. Then we're going out. If she only lets me hold her hand, then I give her the small box. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, then I give her the medium box. But if she really lets me smooch seriously, I'll give her the big box." He made the purchase and he left. That evening, as he sat down to dinner with his girlfriend's family, he asked if he could say the prayer before the meal. He began to pray, and he prayed an earnest, intense prayer that lasted for almost 5 minutes. And when he finished, his girlfriend said, "You never told me you were such a religious person." He said, "And you never told me your dad was the pharmacist." How often did you pray this week? I'm not talking about those prayers that we say so fast that they don't hold any meaning because we said them so often. I'm talking about those prayers when we stop everything just to talk to God. How often did we sit with our God? I asked you to take out your text because, or your phone, because how many texts did you send to people? I asked this question in my old church. And a girl came up to me afterwards and she said, "Dean, I couldn't say it out loud in front of everybody, but so far this month I've sent 2,690 texts." I said, "Well, that's fine. I'm not judging that. But how often did you pray to God? And shouldn't those numbers be close?" When I was a little boy, my mom taught me a bedtime prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take." I often wondered why I had nightmares as a kid. Now I know. Every night, "If I die," what's that? My wife Brenda taught my daughters and all of their friends, and I assume some of the children here, a prayer for them to say before we eat. "Thank you for the world so sweet, bum bum. Thank you for the food we eat, yum yum. Thank you for the birds that sing, tra-la-la. Thank you, Lord, for everything, amen. Clap your hands, stop your feet, praise the Lord, amen." That's as close as I get to my solo. And growing up, my father had the same prayer that he would say before every meal. For most of my life, prayer has been that. Just learning lines and saying them. That was my talking to God. When I would pray as a child, I felt my prayers would only go as high as the ceiling and then stop. I had no real concept that God heard my prayers, or even if God cared to hear my prayers. As I've gotten older and learned more about what prayer is and what it is not, I think I understand prayer more but sometimes I still feel my prayers are still only hitting the ceiling. My question to you this morning is, how is our prayer life? Do we go to God with our joys and our sorrows? Does it seem like God cares? Or does it feel like our prayers just hit the ceiling? Are you pouring out your truest desires and cares to God? Or are we just saying words that we've said forever? Do we really believe that God wants to have that personal relationship with us and He wants to talk to us daily? Or is that even a concept so hard to understand? When I think back on my prayer life, I can think of times that I was truly in prayer, that I felt as if the heavens were open and I was talking face to face with the God. Most of you know that I had a heart attack, and I remember for an hour talking with God during that, trying to figure out what was wrong with me and how to stop the pain that I was in. And during that time, I was having a serious conversation with God. It was just me and God, no talking, no other thoughts were getting in my way, no other distractions. I remember talking to God, and I remember feeling at peace. In the scariest time of my life, God was making me feel at peace with what was going on. And I believe that is what prayer is supposed to be about. When I was praying to God during that time, there were no memorized words, no order of doing things correctly. It was just an honest prayer about what was honestly going on in my life. Today's passage is about a woman who also knew how to pray. Our passage today is found in Luke's Gospel. In the chapter before, Luke has just told his disciples about the coming of the kingdom of God. Luke has told them that the kingdom of God will be coming when no one is expecting it. And then Luke follows that message with the parable of the persistent widow. Arlen Huttgreen says this, "Within the Lukean context, the parable serves to encourage the disciples of Jesus to persist in prayer. Just prior to the parable, there are sayings concerning the disciples of the kingdom and the coming of the Son of Man. And soon Jesus and his disciples will be in Jerusalem. That could mean disaster, even death for Jesus and his followers. But within such times, one should not lose heart. God will not only care for his own, but he will vindicate them. Therefore, the disciples should persist in prayer and in faith." The disciples should persist in prayer and faith, just like the widow. John Hanby says this, "As hopeless as her situation must have seemed, she was persistent. The language of verse 3, present tense verb, indicated that every day she begged him for help. The language leaves open the possibility of confrontation everywhere, not just in court. She pleaded with him in front of his friends and his colleagues. She confronted him in the street. She pestered him in the market. And she called out to him at his home." Maybe this morning you find yourself in one of those kind of desperate situations. Maybe you find yourself losing heart. Then this parable is for you. Maybe you come here this morning and you wonder, is God even hearing what I'm saying? Does God even listen to me? Does God even care? Three things I think we need to take away from this parable. We need to have a prayer life. We can't give up when the answers aren't coming back quick enough. And we have to trust in God. First, we need to have a prayer life. Verse 7. "God will not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and they will get it quickly. For those of them that cry out day and night." Let's be honest with each other. I mean, how is our prayer life? I'm not talking about the one when you eat dinner or you go to bed or when you need something. I'm talking about that relationship when God that involves you communicating with him frequently throughout the day. I'm talking about being a prayer warrior. Over the last 15 years, I've met some of these real prayer warriors, men and women who know what it means to have a real prayer life. Whenever I could have one of these people praying for me, I knew I was going to be prayed for multiple times a day. And I know some of you are in this room. You still send me cards saying, "We're praying for you." So how do I start a prayer life? How do I have a prayer life? How do I become a prayer warrior? Bill Hybel, in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, suggests that Jesus gives his disciples three steps to a good prayer life. First is pray secretively. Find a place where you can be alone, even if that means sitting in a closet. Don't try and fight distractions. Get away from them. You will never beat a TV, a radio. Find some place to have it just be you and God. We live in a world where we multitask. And when we only do one thing, we feel we're being lazy. My own daughters, they can text, do homework, and watch TV all at the same time. Or at least that's what they tell me they can do. But when we pray to God, God should have all of our attention. Second, we need to pray sincerely. God is not interested in some fancy words or neat phrase. He's interested in your thoughts, your feelings. Talk to God in the words and phrases you would your friends. And for you of high school age, pretend you're texting to him. Pour out to God what you are in need of. Pour out to God what are your joys. Pour out to God everything you would to a friend. And then thirdly, pray specifically. Bill Hybel recommends writing your prayers out so it will help you concentrate and organize your thoughts so your prayers will be specific to what you want. And now that we've worked on our prayer life, we need to not lose confidence in it. Over and over, I've heard people say that they've stopped praying to God because God didn't answer their prayers. We have to remember that God's timeline may not be our timeline, and God's answer may be no. Don't judge your prayer life on instant results. I told you earlier that I had that heart attack, and since that day, my life has changed. My lifestyle has changed. From the foods I eat to the size of the proportion of those foods to weekly exercising. And I have a new best friend. Now let me rephrase that. I have a new enemy. It's called the weight scale. Over the last 14 months, I've stood on that scale so many times. Sometimes it makes me really happy, and sometimes I want to throw it out the window. Sometimes I expected that scale to go down, and it went up. Sometimes I knew that that scale was going to go up, and it went down. But the hardest part is when the scale stays the same for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. No matter how hard I worked out, no matter how many times I turned down ice cream, the scale stayed the same. Every time I stood on it, I would be upset. But then I read something very important. It said, don't judge your weight loss by the scale. Instead, judge it by how you feel and how the clothes are fitting. I need to keep working out because that is what I need to do. So I bring that same advice to our prayer life. Don't base our prayer life on whether or not we see results. We keep praying because that's what God has asked us to do. And then lastly, we have to have faith in God. When I was a youth director, we would use youth musicals with my youth groups. And one of them was Trusting God Always. And in it, it had this song. He sees the master plan and he holds our future in his hands. So don't live as those who have no hope. All of our hope is found in him. We see the present clearly, but he sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, he's weaving you and me to someday be just like him. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And so when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. In the parable today, Jesus himself asked the question in verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen one? Who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Jesus' point is this, if an unjust judge can show us love and kindness, how much more can a just and loving God? God wants the very best for his children. But it comes down to this, do I trust God in all things? Do I have faith that God wants the very best for me? As I was writing this sermon, I went back and looked at a care page of a girl I know. It started out 5 years ago when she was entering ninth grade.
The week before tryout, she found out she had cancer, or found a lump in her leg, and they went and had it looked at. Well, they found out it was cancer. So they started this care page. And as I look back, I watched the 5 years of that care page. That first week, pray with us that God will remove this cancer. Pray for us that this is something that we can take away. Well, they couldn't remove the cancer. As time went by, the cancer became worse and worse. So they said, next prayer request is, pray with us that we can treat this. Well, it couldn't be treated. But the next prayer request is, pray for us that God will save the life. Couldn't save the life. Pray for us that she'll be cancer free. Over and over, prayer requests, asking for things. This past summer, she wrote on her care page, finally, declared free from cancer. But I thought about that, and I looked at those years, and I asked myself, how many times did they just want to stop? How many times did they just say, no, we're not doing this anymore. We asked for this miracle, we didn't get it. We asked for this miracle, we didn't get it. We asked for this miracle, we didn't get it. We asked for this, and we didn't get it. How many times did the family just stop and say, enough? But like a persistent widow, they kept praying. How many times?
If you find yourself not seeing results in your prayer life, my reminder to you is don't trust your eyes. Trust your heart. So the question tonight, or this morning, is this. How many times will you go to God this week in prayer? How many times will you stop and be just you and Him? How many times are you going to talk to your best friend? Let us pray.